Welcome to the Victory Orlando Church Podcast. We are so glad you decided to join us. We want to help you to know God, find freedom, and discover your divine purpose so that you can make a difference with your life. We pray this message encourages you, inspires you, brings you hope, and builds your faith.
We've been talking about in a series called What's on the Other Side. We've been looking at a lot of different things. We talked about what's on the other side of salvation. We talked about what's on the other side of our worship. Today, the word of the Lord is Word World. You're like, what? My daughter, when she was growing up, she used to watch this show on TV called Word World. Anybody familiar with that? You got littles, you know what I'm talking about. It was called Word World. And so it was this cartoon where words, when the letters would push together, would turn into a sheep. Or a duck, or whatever, a bear, you know? And then they would talk about spelling and all that kind of. It's a fun way to learn about words. But today I want to talk about Word World. What's on the other side of your words? Well, the answer is simple. What's on the other side of your words is life or death. So we're going to dive into this today, figuring out what's on the other side of our words. There's strength on the other side of your words, or there's defeat on the other side of your words. There's hope on the other side of your word, or there's discouragement on the other side of your words. There's purpose on the other side of your words, or there's a life of just selfishness on the other side of your words. Let me say this way. The words that come out of your mouth will build the house that you live in. Now, of course, I don't mean an actual house made out of wood and what bricks or whatever else. No, I'm talking about the framework, the house that we build in our lives. Our words determine the house that we live in and also filters through our beliefs. Everything in our lives, our thoughts, what we believe and what we do is because of the framework of the words that have been spoken over our lives. You know, if you were going to go build a house, the materials that you use matter. No, I don't know anybody who would go out and find the cheapest materials possible to build a house. I mean, if that's the builder that you have, you probably should find a new one. You know, no one would go out and find materials that are known for being damaging or defective. No, what do? We want to know when a hurricane comes, what are the very best materials for my roof? You know what I'm saying? Like, we want the very best materials for our roof. And yet so many people use the very lowest quality words in their lives that they speak about themselves, about their children, and about others. And then they wonder why they live the lowest quality life and why their kids never rise up or have issues or whatever else. It's because of the quality of the words that we've chose to speak. There's all kinds of words to say and lots of languages to say them in. Listen, you're free to say anything you want. That's totally up to you. I'm just here to tell you what the Word of God says about the power contained in your words. That you can speak whatever you want, but then you will get a harvest back of those things in your life that you have spoken, whether good or bad. So we're going to look at this in Scripture today. I believe that we must protect our families. We must frame our families by speaking the Word of God to them, about them, and over them. Listen, no one and no thing can do it for you. You have to be the one to rise up into that place. Your words have power. Look at somebody sitting beside you and say, your words have power. If you've got your Bibles, maybe you've got the free YouVersion Bible app today. Turn with me, Proverbs 18, verse 20. I'm going to give us a bunch of scriptures today, so whether you want to take pictures of them on the screen or you just want to write down the reference, you can do that. Proverbs 18, 21 says this. It says, from the fruit of their mouth, a person's stomach is filled. And we know this to be true. Something goes into our mouth. Where does it go? Into our stomach. If I eat a taco today, come on, praise the Lord, please. Lord, send me to a place where the tacos. If I eat tacos, what happens? It goes into my stomach. All the good things that are in the taco and all the things that aren't probably good for me also go into me, right? It all goes into my stomach. But here the writer he describes that in the natural sense, but now he shifts it into the spiritual sense. He says, with the harvest of their lips, they are satisfied. So what does that mean, the harvest of my lips? Well, in other words, the words we speak will fill our lives. The words that we speak will be the thing that produces or brings results in our lives. He explains it clearly in the next verse so we understand that he's actually talking about the words we say. He says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Now, he's not talking about like the actual muscle of your tongue, this right here. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the thing that your tongue forms, the words. It's real hard to speak, almost impossible to speak if you don't have a tongue. You need a tongue to speak. So he's saying the words that we create through our mouth have the power of what? Life and death. Notice there's no middle ground. It's one or the other. He says, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So there is a creative force in the words that we speak for life. There's a creative force. There's also a creative force for death and destruction in the words that we speak. What we speak actually forms the future we will live in. All right, I got the right message today. It got real quiet today. Praise the Lord. We know the writer, he's not talking about tacos. He's not talking about the awesome Mother's Day meal we're going to eat today. No, he's talking about our words, that there's life and death in the power of our tongue. And he says that phrase, if we love it, we will eat the fruit of it. What does that mean? Like he's saying, if we love speaking life, if we speak positive, we speak God's word, we will reap a harvest of those things in our lives. All of a sudden, our children will begin to rise up and to begin to live life differently, right? The things in our life will change because we're speaking life. And I'm telling you, when you begin to speak that way, you will love the fruit, the results of the words you've spoken. But if you don't love it and you want to say whatever you want to say, you want to lose your cool and go off and, you know, weave a tapestry of curse words or whatever, you know, or you want to say your opinion or whatever feels good in a moment, then you will not love the fruit that is produced from your life. That's what he's talking about here. He's like, it's not just like, listen, he's not talking about semantics. He's not talking about just good vibes or being positive or just trying to see the upside of things. No, that's not what he's talking about. And if that's what you think it is, then you don't love it. Right? He's talking about the ability that we have to speak life into a person. The ability that we have with just something as simple as words to either strengthen and build somebody up or tear them down, to create in their future. Come on, this is something. So we've got to begin to ask ourselves this question. Are we agreeing with life or are we in agreement with death? And our agreement is released not by our good intentions. Our agreement with life or death is released by the words that we say. That's how your agreement is released. The Bible says that the spirit of faith is, I believe, and therefore I speak. So that's what faith is. Faith, the spirit of faith that's in you is, I believe, therefore I speak. It's not, I had good intentions, and so I tried to be good. It's not, oh, I knew what to say, but I did something else. No, it's whatever is in me, whatever my faith is really in, is then comes out of my mouth. So it's a good way to evaluate, where am I at in my faith? You know, if you don't like what's coming out of your mouth, then today's a good day to evaluate and say, okay, God, I need to build my faith. Come on, amen? Your tongue has lots and lots of power in it. And we just need to be crystal clear. Sometimes when you talk about the power of our words and speaking the word of God and all those kinds of things, we are not trying to twist God's arm. We are not trying to manipulate or force something. This is not name it and claim it. I don't know. Some of you might not even know what that is, but sometimes people think, well, I'm just going to say it and I'm going to have it. That's not the way the Bible teaches the power of our words. We need to understand that our job is not to make things happen. See, the world takes a distorted, twisted thing and tries to make it something else. But God gives us truth. God gives us his word to understand how what we speak will create atmosphere. It will change things in lives. And we have to begin to understand this so that we can put the same creative force that is recorded in Genesis when God created the world and God said, let there be light, and there was light. The same creative force that was in that moment is in you. That's the creative force in your words, whether for life or whether for death. It's this. I mean, if we get a hold of that revelation, that just like, what if somebody recorded your words for 6 days, you know? And Carmelo said, my buddy Carmelo, part of our dream team, part of our softball champions, Victory Falcons, let's go. But I'm thankful for Carmelo. He has always good things to say, speaking life into people. I love you, buddy. But what if somebody followed you around all for 6 days and they said, you know, then all of a sudden it begins to be like, oh, you know, if somebody recorded all your words for a week, would they know that you follow Jesus? We say things like, I believe in God, I'm serving you. And then we say things like, oh, but their kids are crazy. They're just driving them up a wall. They're just going to lose it. This is probably just going to kill them. Like, that's the one that always gets me, is like, oh, that just kills me. Like, do you want me to agree with that? Does that thing kill you? No. Come on. Hello. We got to wake up a little bit. Our words have power, right? And this is not to cause us to be fearful. This is not to cause legalism or anything like that. You're free to say whatever you want. We just recognize as followers of Jesus that God has given us this amazing ability to create life, to speak life, to build people up, to help people raise up out of where they are. Listen, people get enough of all the other kind of discouraging talk from people in the world. They certainly don't need it from people who claim to know Christ. Our responsibility is to speak life into people, to raise people up. Come on. I came ready to preach today. So please don't be fearful. Please don't feel like I can never say anything, or, you know, or sometimes people will be like, well, I'm trying to speak life, but then there was this one time and I did not speak life. Anybody been there? Okay, we probably can raise both of our hands and feet on that one. But listen, it's not about being perfect either. No one is perfect. It's one thing to one time I said something, but it's scripture says, let us hold fast to our continual or our profession of faith. Let us continue. So it's the habitual things we say, the things we always come back to, and we're just constantly speaking. That's what he's talking about here, is that, hey, we're going to begin to change the things we say on a regular basis. So if you don't like what is being produced in your life, then let's evaluate the words that we're speaking, because your words are producing what you're getting back in your life. Amen. So I want to give us five ways today to use our words to speak life. So if we live in the house that is built by our words, how do we build a different house, right? How do we build a godly house that's going to go the distance? Five ways to speak life in your life. If you've taken notes, hopefully you write these down. The first way to speak life, to frame your world with your words, is through the words we speak to each other, words we speak to another person. Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians is in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. The Apostle Paul, he wrote this book, and he's writing it to a church in a city called Ephesus. That's where we get Ephesians from. And he says this, he says, do not let any unwholesome talk. One translation says, do not let any ugly or hateful words. He says, don't let it come out of your mouths. Let me see you cover up your mouth today. Come on, don't let it come out of your mouth. Almost implying it's going to try. Don't let it come out of your mouth. Well, listen, he says, but only let what come out of your mouth is helpful for building others up according to how I feel in the moment, according to what is a funny joke to me, according to the pain that I'm going through, according to how angry I am, according to how they treated me, according to how long my day was already, and I just don't want to deal with it anymore. It's not what he says. He says, no, the words that come out of our mouth should be helpful according to their needs. Their needs, not my needs, that it may benefit those who listen. That's so good. Come on. This is speaking life. It's speaking life is words that build other people up according to what they need, so that they can grow, so that they can know God. So here's the test. Before you speak to someone, you should answer this question. Are these words going to benefit them? Or is it going to help build them up and strengthen them, right? Come on. You know, I love the song, Speak Life, Speak Life. Come on, anybody? Okay, Toby Mac, you can get on Spotify later. Speak Life. Are these words going to benefit them? You know, I and sometimes... Pastor, I was just speaking the truth in love. Let's look at what the Bible actually says about that phrase. One of the most misused phrases. The same chapter, Ephesians chapter 4, just a few verses before. Listen, speaking the truth in love is not speaking your opinion. It's not speaking just what you think or to let someone else know where you stand. That's not speaking the truth in love. Let's find out what Scripture actually says. Ephesians 4, verse 15, he says, instead, speaking the truth in love, that's where the phrase comes from, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. So when we speak the truth in love, the motive in my heart should be to help the other person become more mature in their faith in Christ. If it's anything else, it's not truth in love. It's you in what you want. And this is a good place to stop and say, if you, you know, maybe you're here today and you'd be like, I'm so glad my spouse is here to hear this today. Then it's probably for you, babe. Come on. Love you. I do. I do love you guys. I pray for you regularly. Come on. Listen, we've got to start being more careful with the words that we say to each other. And we've got to start to declare what we see as potential in our kids, in our spouse, and not just speak to what is a current situations. We can't afford to lose it and spout off in a moment. We can't. There's too much at stake. There's generations of our family at stake. Speaking life, listen, is not to avoid conflict. It's not to avoid correction. Correction, that's a whole other message, but correction is never done in anger. It's never done in emotion. Correction is always done in a self-controlled, loving manner. There's always going to be problems. We're always going to face things. There's always facts. We just bring the truth to the facts, the truth from God's word. We're going to speak words to each other that are life. Here's another way to speak life is the words we speak about each other. We speak words of life to each other, but then we speak about each other. Let me say it this way. If you want to become something different, change the words you say. You know, parents, you want your kids to be different? Well, change what you say about them. Change what you say about them. We need to realize you are not raising kids. You are raising adults. And how you are raising them now is preparing them to be an adult. So we got to think with the end in mind. Look at what Scripture says, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Start children off the way they should go, and even when they're old, they won't turn from it. The words we speak about to and over our kids are building the framework that will shape their lives even when they're old. So don't tell your kids they're shy or timid. God didn't give them that spirit. God gave them power, love, and a sound mind, 2 Timothy 1:7. It's time for us to speak faith, to start saying all they can be, not just saying all they've done and they're just a screw up because of this or whatever else. No, we're going to speak to who they can be and what God is doing in them and what they're going to be in the future, because they are the future. They are the hope. They are this generation. Come on, we've got to raise them up. Words are not flippant and meaningless. They carry power. They bring life to people. So it's time for us as followers of Jesus to begin to use our words to build other people up, to stop gossiping about one another, to start believing the best in other people, to stop bickering and having strife and upset slip in about leaders in our lives when we've never been in that place, and begin to allow words of life to be spoken about things. I don't have to know everything or be involved in everything to be in agreement. Come on. We can speak life into things. We can be those that get rid of strife in our homes through the words that we say. What we speak about each other is just as important as what we speak to each other. We're going to use our words not to just build up our biological family, but our church family. Amen? So you can just know when you're in this family, like, we're not going to talk bad about each other. And if we hear somebody talking bad about somebody, we're just going to step right into that and be like, hey, let's go find out what they think about this. Why? Not to shame anybody, but we just refuse to allow the spirit of disunity and dishonor to be present in this house, because you are too valuable to allow dishonor in this house. You are valuable. You are important. And I'm just sharing this because I want you to know we believe the best in you. I believe what God has in you is greater than what you're living right now. And I'm just so excited to see you living out and walking in and growing all that God has for you. And so that's why we're willing to step into difficult places and not allow other people to talk bad about people, because we want to speak life into somebody, into their future. Come on, somebody. Here's number three. If we're going to speak life, we've got to speak to the future, not just about the present. Speak to the future, not just about the present. There's more at work than just what is happening in a moment. Too often, though, we're short-sighted with our words and in our lives, meaning that we only focus on what's happening here and now. And it's in that place when all we care about and all we feel and all we can see is the here and now that too often we speak to and declare what our future will be based on how we feel now. And then we're always amazed and disappointed when we begin to live in the future that we declared and said would be back then. You know, like we just got to realize our words are creative in nature. So can I just say, please don't name your future by your current circumstance. There's a story in the Old Testament, way towards the beginning of the book, 1 Samuel chapter 4. You can read the story this week. The children of Israel were in a battle against their enemies. They were fighting for control of the land. There was a man named Eli who was the priest. He was the leader of the Israelites. This was before they had kings. Eli, the prophet, the priest, was the leader. He had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Aren't you glad? Thanks, Mom, for not naming me Hophni or Phinehas. I don't know how to spell it, you know. The thing about Eli's sons, even though he was the man of God and the leader, his sons were corrupt and evil. It was so evil that God had noticed and said, I will bring judgment on the house of Eli because of the evil that he's allowed to go on in his family, right? So they're in this battle with their enemies. During the battle, Eli's two sons are both killed in the battle. In fact, it says that about 30,000 people in the army of Israel were killed that day. They lost this battle. But what they did in the middle of this battle, they noticed they were losing. And so they sent people back to Eli to get the Ark of the Covenant. Now, this is the same Ark of the Covenant that Moses and Aaron built in the wilderness when they first came out of Egypt. And it was a representation, the Ark was, of God's presence among the people. So when the priest would come before God to minister before God on behalf of the people, he would come before the ark and the presence of God would come down in that place. So it was the place where God would meet with his people. And so they come, they said, God, we need your help in this battle. So they came, they got the ark, and they brought it out to the battle, but they didn't realize that because of the sin and the corruption and the evil that they were living in, that God had to pull back. And so God wasn't in the midst of them. And they lost the battle. The enemy wiped their army out and stole the Ark of the Covenant. So while all this is happening, all on a single day, and the messenger runs back to tell him the story. Eli, the army's been wiped out. They've stolen the Ark of the Covenant and your two sons have been killed. Eli is in such shock in that moment that the chair that he's sitting on, he falls back and breaks his neck and dies right there in that moment. While that is happening, Eli's daughter-in-law comes out and she's great with child. She's pregnant, about to give birth, and she's in such anguish and trauma in that moment. Scripture says she begins to give birth in that moment because of the anguish and just outcry in her body. And it was so intense, the labor that she was in, it says that she was actually dying from the labor as she was giving birth. This is a really, really bad day. You know, like nothing is going right. There's death, there's destruction. Everything is going wrong. Maybe you've been in that place before where you feel like it's anguish. You feel like you've lost everything, lost the Ark of God. Maybe you even feel like God is just so far away from you today. I just want to encourage you. You're in the right place. God is here with you. He hasn't left you. He's with you because he loves you. Watch what this woman did, Eli's daughter-in-law, verse 20. This is 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 20. It says, as she was dying, the woman attending her, helping her as she gave birth, said, do not despair, you've given birth to a son. So in the midst of hopelessness, there's always hope. There's always hope in the midst of despair. You gave birth to a son, but she did not respond or pay any attention. And that's some of us, right? When things get crazy, when the battle is hard, when it's day in and day out and things don't seem to be changing and we feel like we're losing, feel like we're spinning our wheels, not getting it right. We're done. We out. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm done. I just can't. I can't adult anymore, right? I can't do this, right? And we say nothing. We check out. We act depressed. When did depression have a right to be in your life? You've been set free from the curse of sin. You've been set free from the curse of death. Depression has no right to have a place in your life unless you invite it in and allow it to stay. Come on, you have the life of God flowing through you. Why are we tolerating things that Christ suffered and died to free us from? I believe it's time, like, for us to rise up in the Spirit and begin to get some strength of God inside of us and begin to speak God's word to things, to hold on to the promises, to stop holding on so tightly to everything this world has and allow the promises of God to permeate us, to speak to the future that we don't live in right now. But this woman, she didn't do that. All that mattered was her terrible, no good day. All that she could see was the pain that she was going through. And it says she named the boy Ichabod. Ichabod, if you don't know how to what that actually means, translated back in the original language, it literally means no glory. Saying the glory has departed from Israel because the capture of the Ark of God and the death of her father-in-law and her husband. So in other words, this is it. This is as good as it's going to get. My best days are behind me. I'll never have it good again because of what I'm going through right now. Because of the loss that I've been through, I'll never be able to feel joy again. I'll never feel whole again because of what I feel in this moment right now. Too often, we decide who we are and what God is going to allow us to do because of a momentary situation or a momentary feeling we make permanent decisions about and begin to speak and build that in our lives. Because of our circumstances, she said, "This is what my future will be. No glory, no goodness. It's just over." She said, the glory has departed from Israel, for the Ark of God has been captured. She named her future on her current situation. I'm not sure you understood that. She just gave birth to a baby boy, the future of her family, the future of her nation. And she said, it doesn't even matter. Ichabod, no glory, no goodness, nothing good will ever come of this. All that matters is the pain I feel right now. All that matters is how disappointed or upset I am, so whatever about the future. Come on, we've got to wake up. That's why I said we can't afford to have those moments where we just, whatever. No, we've got to begin to speak life in any and all situation. We need a little more self-control about ourselves, a little more fruit of the Spirit that we can, you know, not being perfect, and we might miss it. And when we do miss it, man, we got to go back to that person. You know what? I'm so sorry. I missed it. I never should have said that. I should have said this instead. That's maturity. Too often, I think we name things Ichabod when we look at our marriage and there's been fighting, and we're like, I'm done. I want out. This is no good anymore. We just fell out of love. We name our future on our current situation, right? Too often we do that. We look at our kids. You're just good for nothing. You'll never get it. You're not smart enough. Or why do you always cause problems? Or why can't you just be like them? Or whatever else. We name our future based on our current feelings or situations. Where do we do that in our finances? Where do we do that in our families? Describing our future by our current problems. It's time to wake up and start exercising faith in your life. Faith in your life. Faith to speak to whatever the problem is, whatever the deficiency is. Listen, I'm not denying that there's problems. Faith doesn't deny the problem. There is problems. There is disease. There is diagnosis. There is lack sometimes. But within the face of facts, what do? We bring the truth to it. And the truth is found in God's word. It's the one unchanging thing that we can hold on to. So when there's a fact, that's great, but here's the truth. When it looks like there's disease, the fact says that by the stripes of Jesus, I've been made whole. When it looks like there's not enough, God said when I bring my tithes and offerings into his house, he would pour open the windows of heaven and pour a blessing on me there's not room enough to contain. There's facts and there's truth. So we acknowledge the facts. Here's what the truth is. Here's what I'm believing God for. Here's what I'm going to speak more than the facts. So often I hear people say that, well, Pastor, I'm believing for a miracle. And then they open their mouths, and all you hear out of them is the death and destruction and the despair and the doubt and poor them and this, that. And listen, the spirit of faith is, I believe and therefore I speak. That's why it says, hide the word in your heart. Get it inside of you. And he says, so that I would not sin against you. He says, the word is a light unto your feet and a lamp unto your path. Why do you need a light? Why do you need a lamp when it's dark, when it looks hopeless, when you don't know what to do? The word is a light unto your feet to guide you through the pit, to get you through the places where you can't see the answer, so you can rise up, so you can be all that God created you to be. But if you don't know the word, that's why it's so important. If you don't know it, how are you going to know the answer? We got to know the word. It's time to wake up. Faith is not pretending something isn't there. Faith is looking at something that is not present and speaking and believing like it is. Here's the next way to frame your world with your words is to pray the word. Pray the word of God. A lot of times, we talk about prayer a lot. If you want to know more about prayer, you can get on our podcast or our YouTube channel. We have several messages about prayer. Just because so many people are like, Pastor, I don't know if I pray good or if I'm praying right. Listen, you want to know how to not pray right? Don't do it. You can't mess it up. God is not scoring your, you know, you're not getting a grade on if you were a professional prayer or not. You know, I don't know if you've ever, anybody ever been in a prayer circle? I have. This is funny. You know, you're in the prayer circle and you're holding hands with people and you're like, okay. And then the person next to you that, you know, we're going to all go in a circle and everybody's going to pray. And then the one that prays right before you is like praying the paint off the walls. You know what I'm talking about? And you're like, brother, save something for me. I got to go next. And then you're like, dear Lord, bless us all. Oh, real true stories right there. Listen, you can't pray wrong unless you don't do it. So prayer is talking to God. It's just, you know, when you're angry, talk to him. Tell him when you feel disappointed, God, what's going on? I thought this. Like, just talk to him. Listen, you're not going to tell him something that's going to surprise him or scare him. You're not going to bring something to him that's too big for him to handle. So just talk to him. Just begin this week, just as you're driving down the 408. Hey, God, how are you doing today? Simple as that. That's prayer. Prayer is also getting alone with God. There's all different kinds of prayer, right? One way that's extremely powerful to pray is to pray scripture, to pray the word of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says this. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. How many would you like to pray with confidence? Okay, so here's what he tells us. We can have confidence when we pray. And he says this. If we pray anything according to his will, he what? He hears us. So God listens when you pray. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we will have what we asked of him. Sounds great. But what was the condition? If we pray according to his will. That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Well, how do I know the will of God? Great question. Thanks for asking. There's something called the revealed will of God. It's this book right here, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. It's the revealed will of God. So if you want to know what God's will is, there's 66 books in this book called the Bible. That's the will of God. So if you want to pray, if you want to ask God for something according to his will, then begin to pray what he said he would do already. So that's why he says he will hear us, and we know that if he hears us, we're praying according to his will, he's going to do what he said he would do. It gives us confidence. So how do we pray the will of God? How do we pray scripture? Let me give you an example. Something I pray over my family, over my daughter on a regular basis, Isaiah chapter 54, verses 13 and 14, right? If you feel worried about your kids going to school or wherever, if you feel in that moment of pressure, what's going to happen? Pray this scripture right there. And this is how I pray it. Lord, I thank you that all my children And sometimes I personalize it. I'll put Bella's name in there. I thank you, Lord, that Bella will be taught of the Lord, and great will be her peace. She will be trained in righteousness and established. Oppression will be far from her, and she will not fear. Lord, I thank you that she will be far from terror, and it will not come near her. Yeah. Praying the word. Personalize it. Put your spouse's name in there. Put your name in there. Put your employees' names in there, your coworkers' names, your business name in there. Pray this over your family every morning. Speak it out loud. Listen, nightmares, anxiety have no place in your home. God has given you authority, which you allow into your life. When my daughter Bella was younger and growing up, we decided that we were not going to have nightmares in our home. We weren't going to train her that that was a normal part of life. And there's a lot of factors, some of it what we watch and we listen to, right? But we decided, you know, what can we do while she's sleeping to help instill the word of God in her? So we got a little iPod, and my friend had an album that he had on iTunes at the time called No Fear by my good friend Jeff Goforth. And he would read scriptures to music, and that's what the album was. I purchased it. I put it on loop on this iPod and played it in her room every night before she went to bed. And can I just tell you, to the glory of God, she never had nightmares, never struggled with, is there something under my bed and all that nonsense. No, she has the word of God instilled inside of her. Come on, we're going to speak and pray the word of God. When we pray, I will pray with my own words, but I also pray scripture. Prayer looks a lot like speaking the word of God over your life and just giving him thanks for it. Thank you, God, for the promise of protection. Thank you for Psalms 91. Those that dwell in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So I thank you, Lord God, that you dwell in me. You dwell in my wife, Pastor Heather. You dwell in my daughter, Bella. You dwell in our family, and we will be protected under your shelter, Lord God. Praying the scripture, right? Here's the last one today. If we're going to speak life, is to confess the word, to speak the word. It goes kind of hand in hand with praying the word, but speaking the word of God. Sometimes people just think it's because, you know, I'm a pastor or because they think I'm too spiritual or whatever. It's just not. It's just that I've decided the things I'm going to say, I'm going to do everything in my ability to speak life, to speak the word to people. Because listen, I can say some fancy things to you. I can work really hard every week to craft a message, and I do. I spend a lot of time praying about it, trying to create the best message with some good jokes to make you laugh. Hopefully you have fun. You know, some of those memorable Instagram quotable things, like those are really good. But what I say only goes so far. What I say only has this much power in it. See, it's not about what I say or what I do. It's about getting my words in alignment with God's words. Because my words are okay, but God's words are anointed. God's words are powerful. So if I begin to get my words speaking what God has said, then there all of a sudden begins to be power behind it. Then there begins to be this driving force behind it. And that's really the difference, right? And so that's how you know it's not just semantics, it's not just positive confessions or trying to just say some nice things. It's beginning to bring the word of God into every aspect of my life. It's bringing the word of God into my physical health. It's bringing the word of God into my mental health. It's bringing the word of God into what I watch and what I listen to. It's bringing the word of God into my marriage and into my friendships, into my relationships. It's bringing the word of God when I'm in the grocery store. It's bringing the word of God. Are we getting this today? It's beginning to speak the word of God, confessing the word. Words are powerful. It's time we begin to speak and declare and act on what God has said in our lives. Mark chapter 11, verse 23, Jesus is traveling with his disciples, and he has this amazing moment where he's coming into the city, and there's this tree that's supposed to have fruit on it, and it didn't. And so Jesus said, "No one will ever eat from you again, tree," and nothing happened. And then the disciples just went into the city. Well, the next day, they leave the city, and they're walking by this tree, and they're just going about their business, and all of a sudden, they're like, the tree is withered up and dead. And so they're, like, amazed. Most of us would be, too. And they're like, "Oh, Jesus, do you see what happened?" You know, and Jesus is like, guys, he says this, Mark 11, 23. He says, "Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Sounds a lot like Proverbs 18, doesn't it? There's life and death in the power of your tongue, and if you love it, you will eat the fruit. Now, people use this passage of scripture to teach on faith all the time, and rightly so. It's a great teaching that Jesus gives here in Mark 11 about faith, but equally as it is about faith, it is about our words. Why? Because what I believe, therefore I speak. That's the spirit of faith. Notice here, Jesus is saying, if anyone says to this mountain, if anyone is bold enough to look at an obstacle in their life, to look at something that's not what it is and speak faith to it, speak life to something that's dead, speak bold words of faith to a mountain staring at you, it says, and he doesn't doubt in their heart that when you speak to it, that mountain has got to move. If you want to change your life, you need to change your words. Jesus said we had to speak to the mountain. Notice he didn't say those that pray really hard about the mountain. He didn't say those that kind of like have a good intention and or whatever else. No, he said those that will speak to the mountain, those that will talk to the mountain. So why don't we start talking to our mountains? We've been talking to our mountains, and that's why they're there. It's a lot of times because we've created the mountain out of the words that we've said. But what if we just began to speak faith to the mountain? What are you saying about that teenager? What are you saying about your finances? What are you saying about your mental health? What are you saying about your physical health, about your energy each day? What are you saying about Monday? Sometimes we trade our words for cultural jokes. God has said, I've given you power of life and death. It's time to rise up to get a hold of our confession of faith, to begin to speak God's word to the mountain, to begin to declare what God has said, because we serve a miracle-working, mountain-moving God. We serve the cancer killer. We serve the God who can break the power of addiction in your life. We serve the God who can heal the deepest wound. We serve the God who can bring the things that look dead in your life, looks like it will never happen, and bring life and hope and flood that thing with his goodness. But we've got a part to play. We've got to begin to open our mouth and begin to praise him. We've got to begin to open our mouth and speak faith and speak life over some things, like, and allow those things to come out of us. Maybe you have, you know, you worry about sickness, so you're like, Pastor, how do I confess the word? Well, let me give you some scriptures today so you know what to speak. I want to give you hope today. I want to give you life. If you worry about sickness or disease, or there's a diagnosis in your family or something like that, Isaiah 53 verse 5, speak this every day. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it on your iPhone or whatever. He was pierced for your transgressions. He was crushed for your iniquities. The punishment that brought you peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Come on, we need to get a hold of this in our lives, right? Pray this over yourself every day. You can know 100% when you pray according to the will of God, he hears you. And if he hears you, you can know you will have what you ask. Come on. Maybe you struggle with fear and anxiety, depression. Here's a promise for you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Personalize it. I will not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, I bring my request to you, God. I give you glory in everything, and I thank you, God, that your peace, which passes all my understanding, I don't need to explain it, but God, I thank you, it will guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. Begin to confess the word. Begin to speak it over your life, over your children. Maybe you worry about your loved ones being safe as they go out throughout the day. Psalms 121, verses 7 and 8. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever. Come, when you feel afraid, when you feel panic, when you feel stressed out, when you feel like depression is trying to push you down, begin to speak the word of God. How does faith come? Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the voice, the word, and the word is heard through the message about Christ. Listen, I can't be with you 24/7, but you are. You're with you 24/7. And here's the good news. God has put the ability in yourself to encourage yourself, to speak out loud, to be able to hear yourself, not just on one side, but on both sides of your head, so that you could build up faith in yourself. So when life is pressing in, when depression is pressing in, when pain tells you just to sit down and it's just never going to get better, begin to speak it out. If you've got to speak out the word through tears, speak it out through tears. If you need to call somebody to help them, I don't know what to pray right now, let them begin to speak it out, and you speak it out. When it feels impossible, speak it out anyways. When you don't know the scripture, get on Google and find you a scripture. Whatever it takes, you can speak whatever you want. I'm just here to say, if you want to rise up out of some things, you want to overcome what the enemy's trying to defeat you with, it's going to require you rising up and letting faith be inside of you. Maybe you struggle with not sleeping well at night. There's a promise for you in that. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 24. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Come on. I'm praying for some sweet sleep this week. Anybody else? Come on. Let me give you one more. Because I've just learned that fear wants to come in and bully our lives, right? And you just need to remember, God didn't give you fear. So if it's not coming from God, where's it coming from? It's coming from the devil, the pits of hell. Fear is torment, is chaos. God, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but he has given you a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind. Come on, let's jump to our feet today all over this room. Let's begin to declare the word of God over our lives. Lord, I thank you that you're moving in this place. I thank you, Lord God, for the spirit of faith that is rising up in the hearts and the minds of each one of us right now, that when the enemy has come in, that like a flood, the spirit of God will lift up a standard against it. And even in this moment, as faith is rising up inside of you to combat the attack of the enemy that's been trying to push you down, that's been trying to push you away, and enough is enough. Enough is enough. Today I declare freedom over your lives. It's not any power that I have, but I can declare the freedom in your life, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You are free to speak the promises of God. You are free to bring power into your children. You are free to break the power of depression over a generation. You are free to speak to their future and help them rise up to all they can be. So we thank you, Lord God, right now. I just pray there would be a loose of the spirit of faith in this place.
Thank you for listening to the Victory Orlando Church podcast. We hope today's message helps you take another step closer to knowing God and finding freedom through His Word.